On the show today, we have CUNA's very own Mike Shen talking about CUNA's latest financial well-being study, where credit unions really came out on top in improving financial well-being for all. And the numbers are there to prove it, and Mike shares them all with us. So check it out. On today's program, we have Mr. Mike Shenk from CUNA on the program. Mike, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Doing great, doing great. And better now that you're here, because we're talking a little economics and some credit union good news for credit unions based on the study that you guys just conducted. And you guys, credit unions, it seems that they are coming out on top in improving the financial well-being for all, pretty much. And I was just going through the numbers, you know, this morning and last night of this report that you guys did. And I'm like, wow, this is some great information that credit unions can really leverage to their benefit. So having said all that, Mike, can you give us a quick overview of this study and how they're coming out on top in the financial well-being area?
Sure. Yeah. And before I start, just say that I agree with you. I had the exact same reaction that you did. So I do think that there's just a wealth of information here that will be really helpful for credit unions on a variety of fronts, whether it's, you know, interacting with policymakers or, you know, telling members and potential members mm-hmm. a little bit more about the credit union difference and why it matters.
Yeah, I see a lot of very effective marketing campaigns here based on these numbers.
Precisely, yeah. But in any case, yeah, we did this study earlier this year. We do a study every year prior to the GAC. It's a national voters poll. And the white paper that I produced and sent to you basically summarizes a new series of questions that we introduced into that larger study, again, that we've been doing annually for about 20 years. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's an online panel survey. It was conducted by Frederick Polls. And the results we obtained were collected in January of this year. So it's pretty fresh data.
Yeah, yeah.
This panel consists of a nationally representative sample of 2,500 voters, and that gives us a margin of error of about 2%, plus or minus 2% on mm-hmm. the overall results. Mm-hmm. I do think that the results are solid. And the reason I say that is I've triangulated against a couple of other surveys. For example, the Federal Reserve Survey of Consumer Finances, if you look at that data closely, which we have, it shows that roughly 40% of people in the United States are credit union members.
Wow.
This data exactly aligns with that number.
Okay.
The Fed does another survey called the Shed survey. That's the one that's pretty famous, you know, where they ask, do you have $400 set aside for an emergency expense? The result that they got in their most recent survey is almost exactly the same result that we got in this data. Mm-hmm. So again, another proof point. And then a couple of years ago, Gallup did a survey around whether or not people had a good feeling about their financial institutions, basically. And the question that they asked is very similar to one that we asked in this survey. And the results, again, were very, very close, almost dead on compared to what Gallup found a couple of years ago. So that's my starting point in trying to figure out, you know, is this really good data?
Yeah.
Or are there quirks in the data set? It seems like it's really good data.
Yeah, it sounds very consistent indeed based on the comparisons there. So let's dive into a couple of the key findings here. Ones that, I mean, because there's a whole bunch of them and we don't have time to go through all of them, but there were a few in there that really stuck out to me. And one of the first ones was, does your financial institution care about your financial well-being? And you compared it to credit union members and credit union non-members. And the percentage on this one, I'm just taking the overall ones because you guys dissected it down even further. But the overall was 42% of these are credit union members, and then to 29% versus non-members. So can you dissect that one a little bit?
Yeah. So, first, let me just say the reason that we did this survey, as you may know, we've been engaged in a financial well-being for all project over the course of the last year plus, close to 2 years now. And the reason that we as an organization, the National Trade Association, have sort of wrapped our arms around this project is that we wanted to make sure that everything that we do, all the things that we do as a National Trade Association, are aligned with what the thing that credit unions do. So we've adopted language in our strategic plan that reflects this idea that the credit union mission really is improving financial well-being, and then that sort of is the underlayment for everything that we do, including advocacy.
Okay.
And it's really important because what we're finding is in the wake of the COVID crisis, there are some really significant challenges. The Financial Health Network, for example, in its 2021 Pulse survey, revealed that roughly two-thirds of people in America are financially unhealthy. That means either financially vulnerable or just coping.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big deal. It comes up, not specifically that data, but the idea that there's this extreme stress in the marketplace comes up in almost all of our conversations with policymakers. And, you know, in the past, we could do a lot, actually move the needle in talking about, you know, credit union financial benefits and credit union economic impact, and then supplementing that with the great stories that we have. And it's less likely that those stories have that same effect today. Increasingly, policymakers want mm-hmm. proof. They want data points that that really do underline and confirm that focus on mission and the fact that we're making a difference.
Yeah, definitely.
So that's kind of why we did it. And I think you hit the nail on the head. At a really high level, I think what this data is showing us is that structure matters. And businesses that are owned by their customers behave differently in the marketplace. We've seen that historically over time.
Mm-hmm.
We have a different incentive structure than for-profits. And by extension, because of that, we produce a wide variety of pro-social outcomes that we don't see in the for-profit sector.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out that a lot of those pro-social outcomes have something to do with improving financial well-being.
Right.
So this voter poll data shows that credit union member owners are much more likely to say that they trust credit unions. I think that's an essential point to kind of put in front of the question that you just asked.
Yeah.
In our survey results, we looked at the overall results and saw big differences in almost all the questions we asked at a really high level. So mm-hmm. if we were to ask somebody's opinion about a credit union or bank, we have an agreement scale. And at a when we look at agree and agree strongly, essentially, mm-hmm. And put those two things together, banks and bank customers, credit union members show really high levels of agreement. But when we look at people that are especially enthusiastic, those that say they agree strongly, the differences that we see uniformly in the overall results become even more pronounced.
Really?
So when we ask people, do they trust their financial institution? Credit union members are 1.4 times more likely than non-members yep. to strongly agree with that idea. And because of that, they are likely to feel a lot more comfortable having deep, meaningful conversations mm-hmm. with their credit unions and with credit union professionals. And that's super important, because we have a lot of data, academic research, that shows that, you know, financial education and training and producing brochures and putting information on websites really doesn't do much to move the needle mm-hmm. in terms of financial well-being.
Mm-hmm.
You really do need to, you know, meet people where they are and talk to them about, what their challenges, their unique challenges are at a particular point in time to get them further down the path.
Right.
These conversations are super important. The data that we have shows that credit union members are two times more likely than non-members to say that they've had these personal education and counseling sessions
yeah.
at their credit union versus at their, whatever other institution they use. So they trust us. That means they talk to us more and they'll tell us more about their personal financial position. Because they know that we're going to act in their best interest.
Mm-hmm.
And when we have those conversations, it turns out that members actually do act on that advice and counsel. They engage in behaviors that mm-hmm. reduce vulnerability and that increase resilience. And so from the survey, for example, we find that non-members are two times more likely to say that they don't have $500 set aside yeah. to meet an unexpected expense. A car breakdown, an unexpected medical bill, that sort of thing. they don't have much in the way of cash set aside for those challenges. And both the CFPB and the Financial Health Network have done a lot of research around the importance of having some money set aside to meet unexpected expenses like that. It's really impactful. And even beginning to, you know, the dollar amount doesn't matter as much as the activity itself. So just beginning to create a rainy day fund has positive, measurable, significant outcomes in people's financial lives.
Yeah, those stats just really scare me. I mean, we've been talking about that, the $400, you know, most don't have $400. Right. That type of stuff just is, we've been talking about that for a few years now, and it still remains true today. So yeah, that's just really scary.
Yeah. And our overall data, again, aligns with what we see in that Fed data, but it is interesting that credit union non-members are two times more likely not to have this.
Yeah.
You know, there's some other data in there. You know that access to affordable credit is a key driver of a lot of measures of financial well-being. It turns out having a car to get to work, even though we've gone through a lot of changes recently, for a lot of folks, especially frontline workers, that's really important.
Still need it.
We know that the number one way to build wealth and intergenerational wealth is to own a home.
Mm-hmm.
So again, access to credit and affordable credit, super important. Members of credit unions are two times more likely to be very positive about the ease of getting a loan at their financial institution. And they're over two times more likely than non-members to be very positive about their ability to get low-cost loans. So again, really impactful, interactions in the marketplace with products and services that people really need.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, I mean, so that was a long way of getting back to your original question. Members are both way more likely, because of all that, to say that they're very positive that their credit union cares about their financial well-being, and way more likely to say that their credit union actually has improved their financial well-being.
Yeah, exactly.
In fact, they're 1.5 times more likely to say that, as you mentioned, the data, 44% versus 29%.
Yeah, that's just fun.
1.5 times more likely to say that their financial well-being has actually been improved by the credit union.
Yeah, and we're just scratching the surface with these numbers too. I mean, you guys dissected it down even further into deeper categories, which we can't really. I mean, we would be here for 2 hours at least, Mike. We have a job to do, but we'll include those. We'll show some graphics and stuff in the show notes or in the production, so people can see what we're talking about here. So, what lessons did you learn throughout this? Besides, this is really good news for credit unions, and credit unions are doing something right to achieve these types of numbers. What other lessons did you learn in here as you're going through this data?
I think the biggest takeaway is that there is great value in actually measuring this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't really done it historically. This is really our first swing at trying to come up with meaningful data.
Mm-hmm.
And I almost fell off my chair when I saw these results. I expected to see differences. I did not expect to see differences of this magnitude.
Yeah, there's a big
gap. So, you know, you're absolutely right. There is a treasure trove of data here, not just in the overall results, but within these demographic groups that are particularly at risk, mm-hmm. women, people of color, mm-hmm. people that have lower levels of educational attainment, and people that live in rural areas are specific demographics that we looked at. The results are consistent across each of those demographic groups, with credit unions head and shoulders above other financial services providers. So
I'm glad you mentioned the rural one, because I just happen to have the graphic up right in front of me here, Mike, and it's what you're more likely to use a personal financial education and counseling service. 67% credit union members compared to 35% non-credit union members. So, I mean, that's, oh my Amazing. Gosh, that's just an astounding numbers. That was one of the big ones that I saw as well. So,
I think, you know, and when I say measurement, you know, doing this, measuring these things is important. It's important not just for the National Trade Association, of course. It's important at the credit union level for credit unions to be thinking about their mission and their purpose and, and what they're actually trying to do, what needle they're trying to move, and to measure that movement and to track it over time, and most importantly, to tell the world about it. Because we know that these things are impactful, and we also know that for a lot of us in credit union land, we don't talk about it that much. We assume that, you know, that's just what we do. And it's very, very clear that there are significant benefits to, you know, broadcasting this stuff
completely
broadly and doing it over and over and over again. And then when you get tired of doing it, do it some more.
Exactly. Exactly. Because I see Chris Lawrence at CU Awareness really capitalizing on these numbers. So yeah, I see him just chomping at the bit to get to this type of stuff. So was there any way to compare last year to this year? I mean, I don't know if you can answer that off the top of your head without doing a whole bunch of number crunching, but is that possible? I mean, I'm just kind of throwing that question out there.
Unfortunately, it's not. Again, this is the first time we've measured these particular metrics.
Yeah, I gotcha.
And so we don't have a historical view in terms of how this might shake out. And we didn't, everything that we asked this time around really had to do with what's going on in their lives today.
Okay. Understandable. So having said that, where can folks find the study to discover more details? Because again, we're just scratching the surface here for sure.
Yeah. It's easy to find. www.cuna.org.
Mm-hmm.
That's the front page of our website. And if you scroll down a little bit, about halfway down, there's four panels that run across the screen. And I think it's probably the second or third panel.
Okay.
A link to the report, easy to get. And hope everybody reads it.
I think they will be. And we'll include a link in the show notes too, so they can get right to it as well. So good stuff. All right, Mike. Well, anything else to wrap up? Again, this is, you know, phenomenal information here for credit unions.
No, just thanks for the opportunity to share it and to get it out to as many people as we possibly can. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk to you.
Always a pleasure, Mike, and always an education. So we appreciate your time as always. Keep up the good work there, okay? And look forward to the next conversation.
Awesome. Take care.
Okay.